Good morning. Buenos días. Hallelujah. Well, we are here continuing this powerful sermon series on Nehemiah. Can we stand up to read the word of God and just declare, together we will rebuild. 1, 2, 3. Now say it like you believe it. Again. Now, let's go to the Word of God so you find inspiration in the Word of God. Let's read it together. The wall is completed on the 21st. In 15 days, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this is the work that had been done with the help of all. After the wall has been rebuilt and I have set the doors in place, the gatekeepers, the musicians, and the Levites were upon. Come, Holy Spirit, pour out your presence upon us and make this word living sacrifice before you so we can obey and walk in your presence. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. So this is a powerful moment in the life of Nehemiah, because as the word says here, the wall was what? Completed on the 25th, it was like God was leading them, helping Nehemiah, and they completed the work. Usually that's the best part, right? When everything is completed. People don't want to go through the pain and the sacrifice to actually get the work done. But we all love to rejoice when things are completed. And most of the time, we are looking forward to it, especially here in America, where you have all this fast food and fast this and microwave, and everything needs to be completed fast, right? Well, as I said before, there is no such a thing as a microwave revival, right? You really have to go through it. Cry before the Lord, surrender your passions, surrender yourself to the Lord, and then he will powerfully move in our life. Now, it also says that when all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their what? Self-confidence. So people are after you, and they do everything in their power to make you stop from following God's will for you. But when they see that you are committed, that you are not going anywhere, that you're going to continue pressing forward, they just leave you and they just accept the fact that now you serve the Lord. Do you remember when you received Christ as Lord and Savior? Do you remember that your friends were looking at you like, because they knew you, right? So they were looking at you, observing you, and see if it's true that you actually have been touched by the Holy Spirit, and now you are transformed. And after a while, they just say, okay, it seems like it's right. He's changing or she's changing. So my hope is that as we continue embracing the Holy Spirit and allowing God to move in our lives here at St. John, that people will see that, and not only the surrounding nations in Nehemiah's time, but also our community, we'll see that we are actually after the Holy Spirit and we have decided to stand in the Word of God, which is what we have done so far. Now it says that after everything was rebuilt, now Nehemiah started in the second phase, which is appointing leaders and Levites to run the city. Now, Nehemiah first showed up in Jerusalem as a builder, right? So it's hands-on, build the wall. And then after the work was completed, it was time for Nehemiah to make a switch. And now he's now appointing leaders. Now he becomes the governor of Jerusalem. And it's a complete different work. And for us as a church, we have to be careful and pay attention to what God is doing among us, because sometimes God is asking us to do one type of job, and then after a season, he asks us to switch to another type of job. And God is calling us to be faithful regardless what the calling is, regardless what the assignment is. He's asking us to be faithful, but we have to be following the Holy Spirit, walking a step with the Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and clarity and guidance so we are walking in alignment with his purposes for this church and for our personal life. So this vision shift that Nehemiah is asking and Nehemiah is experiencing now is the same thing that we are doing here at St. John right now. So we have been in this new season asking God for clarity, launching new teams, spring teams, and all of that just to make everything according to the season of the church to prepare the infrastructure for what needs to come later. And then after all the teams are appointed and the church comes together and we elect the new covenant partners to lead the church, that is the second phase, which is a different phase from this little work that Nehemiah did at the beginning, 52 days, and he completed the wall. The actual work started after that because now he's the governor of the city and now he has to lead the city. So my hope is that we understand that these two differences between technical work and adaptive work. We just launched the vision team yesterday and we were working through this. That technical work is the work that someone knows how to do it. Like if you have a hole in the roof, you find a roofer, it's done, right? That's technical work. But then adaptive work is the work that we don't know. We don't have an answer. It has not been done before. Therefore, no one knows how to do it, and we have to experiment. We have to try and error, not try in the sense of being just led by emotions and try this and try that, but try led by the Spirit with a plan. And you evaluate, and then you come back, and you do it again after you get input from people. But these two type of work are super important in the kingdom of heaven. For Nehemiah, technical work, build the wall. Adaptive work, lead the city into greatness. So for us, technical work, get the sprint teams, get the teams done, write covenants, write policies, write process, write bylaws. All that is technical, easy. Now, the challenge comes when we are talking about adaptive work for St. John. How are we going to become a church that is vibrant? How are we going to face the challenges of the 21st century, hunger? How are we going to be a church of disciples and disciple makers? How can we love people, not only love people, but challenge them to grow and be transformed? I'm going to be, you know, we are the nicest church in town, somebody says, but the question is, are we going to make disciples? Because Jesus is not calling us to make friends. He's calling us to do what? Make disciples. So friendship is the first step toward discipleship, right? Once you have a friend, now you have the relationship. That friendship is with a purpose. What purpose? Making disciples. So if all you do is making friends, then you are Barney, right? Barney, Barney, friendship, friendship. But if you are following Jesus and you are a disciple of Jesus, now you are dreaming and thinking and praying for an opportunity to present the gospel to your friend. That's what God is calling us to do. That's the biggest and the hardest challenge, that we know that every person that is around you is an opportunity for you to live out the Great Commission. And that's what God is asking us this morning, to understand that there is a pattern for technical work, there's no pattern for adaptive work, and we need to come together, spend time together, prayer, fasting, reading the word, doing experiments, and God will bless us. In other words, I'm asking St. John this morning permission to what? To experiment. So I need you to be patient, right? Sometimes you ask questions that we don't have. Why? Because we are in a new season. And you want the question answered right now. And the answer is, I don't know. Right? And that's fine. And especially when you're seeing things that are new, things that we're trying, it's not, nothing is permanent until it's permanent. Right? So we need to give us the permission to experiment. So if you see Tyler doing something new, don't nail him to the cross just yet. Just wait, right? Just wait and let him try something new or, you know, experiment, and then we can evaluate, and guess what? It doesn't work? It doesn't work. This is it. You know, I've been in conversation with Tyler, and last time I talked to him, he learned from me. Like, he's not married to the worship music, he's married to Lizzie, right? So he's fine. If it doesn't work, guess what? He tried something new, something different, something new. It's okay. You know, God has given him a lot of gifts and graces. He can navigate waters and contemporary and traditional and here and that, but we need to give him permission. I'm going to use him as an example of what we're talking about here, right? So if you give us permission to experiment, and then you pray with us, and then you give us feedback, again, healthy feedback. What is healthy feedback? Healthy feedback is when you are able, led by the Spirit, to assess a situation, not as criticism, attacking the character of the person, but actually assessing the task. You can say, oh my God, that doesn't work. That idea doesn't work. That's different from this guy is stupid. He doesn't know what he's doing. Okay? At that moment, you shift from the task to the person. That makes sense? Okay, we are all children of God, so we all need to work together and give us input and say, okay, I think people are not receiving this well. Here is why. What can we do? And then start working until we get it right. But please give us permission to experiment. If you are going to give us permission to experiment, I want you to praise the Lord and clap. 1, 2, 3. Yes, sir. That's it. So now we have permission, so buckle up. Now, adaptive work. Again, adaptive work is this work that we are doing that no one knows how to do it. Nehemiah faced that. We're going to face the same thing, and God is calling us to do this. Now, when we talk about adaptive work, we see that Nehemiah was leading the church to be, leading Jerusalem to be a Bible-centered community, bringing a revival. And he called Ezra, and Ezra was reading the word of God, and people, men, women, and all who could understand to hear God's law read aloud. And then it was powerful. That's why we are reading the word together aloud. And then it says that the public reading and the explanation and application of a scripture sparked deep conviction and joy among the people. So that's the idea of putting the Bible at the center of what we do. And as we do that, we are going to restore clarity and purpose and direction for our church. And the word of God will become a compass for us so we are revived again in identity and in mission. And when the moment we understand this, we're going to look back and say, okay, we have been here for 45 years. So this is adaptive work. What type of questions we need to be asking this on this season? Number one, what are we doing well? I know that we're doing some things well. What are those? Let's list it. Then number two, what are we doing that is not effective in disciple making? And then we can identify that and start working and say, okay, are we going to continue investing resources on this, or are we going to put this into pause until we find a way to make disciples out of this program or activity or event? And lastly, which is for me a very big one, what is God calling us to do, but we are not doing? So if we start asking those questions, the Holy Spirit will guide us to find this way, the most effective way to impact the community. So when we go to technical work, then you can have the clarity and the idea, because it's easy to follow, because we know in 2,000 years of history that at the center of every revival, you have what? The word of God, right? So the moment you remove the word of God, revival is out of the window. And here is the challenge. We have done a disservice to the church. The moment we start writing all these books and all these little devotionals and all this little stuff, and people day by day walking away from the scriptures, they don't read the Bible anymore. They read a Bible, they read a book written from someone else instead of reading the word of God. And I know people now that are doing their devotionals out of Facebook. Hello? they find a little, oh my God, that guy spoke to me, really? And that's it, right? So God is asking us and calling us to go back to where? To the scriptures. How many of you have the Holy Spirit? Amen. So if you have the Holy Spirit, you can go and spend time with God, and he will teach you. You don't have to know Greek. You don't need to know Hebrew. You don't need to know everything that the seminary teaches. You only need the Holy Spirit. And 1 Peter says that the Holy Spirit will teach you everything. What you need to know to what? To obey. So if you read the Bible, maybe there is 300 commentaries about it, 400 books to talk about it, but that verse is for you, my friend. And if you're going to obey it, you don't need 300 people explaining you the verse. Are you going to obey, yes or not? If you say yes, dun, kabunga, it's done. And that's what God is calling us to do. We need to go back to the scriptures, to read the Bible together. And if you don't understand, ask the person next to you. Most likely he knows or she knows, right? But it's important that we go back to the scripture and put and present the Bible at the center of everything we do. And that's why we are here, if you don't know yet. And last night, yesterday morning, as we were launching the vision team, we were talking about it again and again. We're not here because the issue with the LGBTQ community. We're not here because we are not loving. We are loving. St. John has a history of being loving. Go out and ask the community, not the people who are mad. Ask the community if St. John is loving. St. John has been a loving community for 45 years, my friends. That didn't change. The only thing that changed is that St. John decided to take a stand for the scriptures. And the St. John is saying, listen, we love everybody, but if people are coming to St. John, we are going to challenge them to be transformed. They can come as they are, but they cannot stay as they are. That's it. That's it. That's it. So when you go out and you talk to people, that's our message. We are not doing nothing different. We are not Baptist now. We are not First Assembly of Christ. We are a church living out the word of God until God revealed to us what is the next step. Give us some times and we are going to find out. Here in this building or outside of this building, who cares? The point is we want to be found obedient. And once we are found obedient, God will bless us. Doesn't matter where we go. Doesn't matter where you are. I'd rather stay serving Jesus in alignment with his word than anything else. Why? Because I have news for you. I came to this country, and I said that before, with a backpack. Now, look at me. Do you think I'm going to be afraid now? Okay? So, God is faithful. God is faithful. He's going to bless you. He loves you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to provide for me. He's going to provide for this church. Because guess what? This is not St. John Community Cruise. It's St. John Community Church. And if we are St. John Community Church, we need to stand in the word of God. Okay. So that's principle number one, so don't go. Number two. You know, genuine repentance. And that's what Nehemiah was challenging people. We have to repent. We have to repent. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot repent. We need the Holy Spirit. That's what makes St. John a community of faith. How many of you have the Holy Spirit? And here's the beauty with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to try to open some doors for you so you can leave this place with a conviction in your heart. The actual understanding is that sometimes we are not so convinced that we have the Holy Spirit to the point that when we make a mistake, we start doubting ourselves. Do I have the Holy Spirit? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is received at the time of salvation. At the moment of salvation, you and I receive the Holy Spirit. John 14 says that Jesus promised, and he says, it's better for you that I go away because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he will bless you. He will be with you. He will be in you. Wow. So the moment you say, Holy Spirit, come, and you receive the Holy Spirit, he's going to bless you, and he's going to be with you. So what does that mean then? Because then you see John 20, 2022. You see Acts 1:8. You see it's Acts 2, Acts 4. And the Holy Spirit keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. So is there a contradiction? Do I receive it right now or I receive it in phases? Well, I'm telling you, the moment you receive the Holy Spirit, that's the testimony that you are a child of God, and that in the rest of your life is going to be released to you again and again and again. And when you understand that, now you can breathe and say, now I have the Holy Spirit. I know that for a fact. There is no such a thing as the Holy Spirit is not with me. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you, and he comes in the fullness of his power when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's powerful, right? So therefore, there is no such a thing as a portion. I have a portion of the Spirit. Oh, I'm a spirit. I'm now, because I have the Spirit, I'm part of the spiritually elite. No, my friend. You have the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit. We have the same Holy Spirit that the disciples had, the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had. We have, you have, and I have. I don't have more of the Spirit than you. You don't have more than me. No other church, no one. The Holy Spirit is a person, and when he's present, he's going to show himself in a mighty and powerful way. So, as we walk with Jesus, we need to understand that we need to repent from our sins. And the moment you receive that, he's going to bless you. But here is what I don't want you to be confused. That we are not here on earth making mistakes. And then when we get it right, we are going to receive the Holy Spirit as a reward that we did things right. It's not by action. It's not by deeds. It's by faith that you receive the Holy Spirit. It's not about what you do. You pray, you fast, you come, you worship. That means nothing. The reason you have the Holy Spirit is because you believe. And because you believe, now you have the Holy Spirit. So there is no such a thing as, I made a mistake and the Holy Spirit is gone. No way, Jose. He doesn't go anywhere. Ephesians 4:30 says that when the Holy Spirit, listen to this, when the Holy Spirit sees you sinning, he grieves. He doesn't leave. He do what? Grieves. To do what? To convict you. To convict me. To get it right. To keep following Jesus. To come back to church. To come back to the scriptures. To follow God. And the moment you do that, God will bless you even more. Because it makes no sense for God to take out of you the only chance that you have and I have to be holy. He's calling us to be holy. I calling you, church, I call you to be holy. That's what God is saying. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm calling you to be holy. And the only opportunity we have to become holy is the Holy Spirit. So it makes no sense that when I make a mistake, when I sin, God is going to take out of me the only opportunity for me to be holy. It makes no sense. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is not going anywhere. So I believe with all my heart, and I hope you believe it too, that doesn't matter what it is, when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, you become one with the Spirit. Therefore, the Holy Spirit comes upon you in all his power, all his boldness, all his righteousness, all who he is in you, and he's not going anywhere until you are transformed. Therefore, there is no such a thing as we need more of the Spirit in St. John. That's not the right question. How can we bring more of the Spirit here? How can we get closer to God? That's not the right question. You know what the right question is? The reality is, based on what I just said, the reality is we cannot get closer to God. We cannot get closer to the Holy Spirit. We either are in the Spirit or we are not. So this is not about, oh, how much I can get from the Holy Spirit. No, the right question is, how much can the Spirit get from you? Because it's not until we repent, it's not until we surrender that the Holy Spirit will come. Greater measures of surrender leads to what? To greater manifestation of God in your life and in the life of the church. There is no such a thing that the Baptists are more anointing and have more presence of God than we do. There is no such a thing as Southeast is on fire and we are not. It's a matter of what? Surrender. If we surrender, now we can ask God, and the more we surrender, the more the Spirit gets of us as a church and as a person. And when that happens, kabunga, you have a revival. Easy. The other day, I was going through my credit cards, and my credit cards here, San John credit card, it says San John credit card UMC. So I got a scissor. And cut the credit card. And then I went to David and said, David, I need a new credit card. But here's the point. You know what I did that? Because I knew that I was not coding the bank account. I was coding the access. Hi, hello. I was coding the access to the bank account. The credit card is nothing. The bank account and the balance in the bank account have not changed. I didn't lose the bank account. I didn't mess up with the church account. I only access and change my access. The credit card gives me access to the bank account. Yes? So, same thing for us. The moment you surrender, it's not that you're going to get more power. No, you have greater access to power. Because now you are saying, come, Holy Spirit, I surrender. Come and take charge of my life, my thoughts, my actions, my emotions, my decisions. Now, come, Holy Spirit, and then more power come to you. Wow. It's a matter of access. He never changed. He's always here. He's not gone. We are the one who discredit ourselves, don't apply the scriptures, and don't understand that he's not going anywhere until he comes again. He's preparing us for the second coming of Jesus. Are you ready for that? That's what God is calling us to do. That's why we are in covenant. That's why we believe that God is a God of covenant. That's why we're challenging you to become covenant partners. And tonight, this morning, we're going to have a covenant partner celebration with two of our beloved members who have been traveling, and now they are here in the house. And this morning we're going to do the covenant partner celebration for them. But I'm encouraging the whole church. Like, if you are here, you're part of the church, you're part of this journey, come, send me an email. I want to become a covenant partner. And we're doing it this every single Sunday, right? And the reason I'm saying night is because last night, the night before, I was invited to a church that left the UNC, and the pastor there called me and said, Pastor Yosmar, can you, I know who you are, I love you, I respect you, can you come and ordain me? Because now that I left the UNC, I lost all my credentials. So I don't have the credentials anymore. Can you come and ordain us? Me and my husband, we both are local pastors. Can you do that? And I said, oh, let me call the bishop first. Oh, let me call the superintendent first and then say yes. Guess what? I didn't call anyone. I went. And I did it. And it was powerful. Right? It was powerful. So the night was powerful. We did it. And I called another pastor who's a friend, Pastor William Moore. He's pastor of Covenant. We went together. We did it. It was powerful. It was awesome. And now they are thriving. They are meeting in a community center. I mean, it's God is moving. God is moving. There is a new season for the church. And I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit is the one leading the church, you don't have to call anyone to invite you to anything. Right? The Holy Spirit will do that. And he's your marketing agent. You don't have to call people, invite me to preach, invite me to ordain you. No, it has to come from the Spirit. They come to you. Hello? So just for you to know that I'm not going around calling people and asking them, hey, can we join? No, join anything. We are invested here, and what we're doing here is calling people attention, and people are calling in here to see what we're doing. And then as we share with them, everybody's excited. We want to be part of it. That's organic. That's led by the Spirit. Make sense? Okay, so last one is the application of this. In other words, so you don't forget, we're going to be a Bible-based community. We're going to practice corporate confession, and we're going to make a specific commitments for change. And the moment we do that, God will bless us, and God will support us, because he's the one calling us to follow him. Now, here is the quote from this father of the church. 1, 2, 3. God's mercy have no limitation. And the moment we receive that, God will bless us like never before. The church becomes a renewed community, not by what it builds outwardly, but by continual return to its spiritual roots. As we come back to the Holy Spirit, God will bless us and he will fill us with his presence. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come. You are the true measure of holiness for the church. Holy and merciful God, as you rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild our hearts by your word, bring through revival among us a hunger for scripture, honesty in confession, and a fresh commitment to live as your covenant people. Let our lives shine as testimonies of your renewing grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask Michael and Diane Belt to come forward. Can you put your hands together? I thought I was a world traveler until I met Michael. He has been all over the place, from Germany to Dominican Republic, go back and then go to other places, other states. I mean, it's madness. But you are here.
We are.
You survived.
We did.
Okay, that's good. So let's, can you read this together? And the church will help you to make the commitment. Yeah, you can read it either or. 1, 2, 3.
As members of St. John Community Church, we declare our commitment to become covenant partners, united in purpose and dedicated to advancing God's kingdom
through his local body of believers.
As a covenant partners,
we will actively support our church vision and engage spiritual growth and contribute our talents, time, and treasure. In the strong name of Jesus.
Amen. Diane, remember your baptism. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And remember, you belong to Jesus. My brother Michael, remember your baptism. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and remember, you belong to Jesus.
Amen.
Now we ask you that you get a stone, write your name, and go to the cross. Yeah.
Okay.
And then write your name and place it there as a mark that you have come to us. I'm very generous with the water because I don't want you to forget that you are baptized. Put your hands together.
Christian 402.
Christian in my heart, in my heart more.
Now, I send you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go and be more like Jesus in your heart. May the Lord who revived you and me give you strength. May his word dwell richly in your hearts, drawing you to confession, joy, and renewed faithfulness. Go now as a people committed to his covenant, sustained by his grace and grounded in his everlasting love. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you.